Now, friends, we come to the harlot Rahab, and I thought about calling this the weakness of faith in the life of this woman, but I'm very frank to say to you that I don't think that would be proper at all to call it the weakness of faith. I think in the life of this woman, you would have to call it the wonder of faith. By faith, we are told, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. Now, of course, her story is in connection with the story of the walls of Jericho. And you have in the story of the walls of Jericho, you have the watch of faith. That man that was leading those people around had found out that headquarters was in heaven and that the captain of the hosts of the Lord was really leading the group and that General Joshua was really more or less like a second lieutenant. And he was watching for those walls to come down. I'm not sure but what those on the inside after 7 days were beginning to wonder what was going to happen. Now we know that inside that city was this woman Rahab. And we're told that by faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not. Many years ago, a book appeared with the title, Religion in Unlikely Places. Now, I do not know if Rahab was included in that book or not. I never read the book. The title of it was very impressive to me, Religion in Unlikely Places. Well, certainly, she should have been put in the book, because that would be the last place in Jericho that you would look for faith. Now, she lived in a very wicked, pagan, heathen city, Jericho. And not only did she live there, but she practiced the oldest profession. And it's been pretty much considered that those that practice it are sinners. Until recently, since we've come along with our new morality today, but this woman was a sinner. And yet, we're told here, by faith, a harlot Rahab perished not with them that believe not. Now, I'm sure that the mayor of the city and a great many of those that were in high position felt like that they were good enough to have been saved. But they were not. We are told they perished in the city because of just one reason. They did not believe. Now, the way that God had moved in relation to this city actually was very generous. Oh, I know the critic finds a great deal of fault with God for destroying the people in Jericho. I had a professor when I was in college, liberal college, and a liberal professor. And he just wept crocodile tears because of what happened to the people in the city of Jericho. The thing that always disturbed me about this professor was he showed very little interest in other people, including students, by the way. I happened to be one of his students. Showed very little interest. But he could really work up a lather when it came to the people in Jericho that they were destroyed. Now let's look at this for just a few moments and see actually what this woman Rahab did. Because she did something, by the way. She expressed her faith in a very definite way. Now when the city was ready to be destroyed, the people of Israel had crossed over Jordan. And when that word got to Jericho, the city was shut up immediately. That is, the gates were closed because they never dreamed that during the flood season that great host of people could be brought across the river at flood tide. There was no bridge for them to get over. And the river was on a rampage at that time. And how in the world would you get the company over? So they knew they didn't have to worry until after it was all over. That is, the flooding season. Then they'd have time to worry. But now they're over. And the city of Jericho apparently has been made aware of the method that was used. But actually, God gave the city an opportunity to see if they had turned in faith to him. Joshua would send spies into the city, and there was a harlot there, and she practiced this oldest of the arts. She came in contact with these men. I have a notion she made a business proposition to them. I do not know whether they accepted or not. I do know this. They made it very clear that they were on a mission and that they needed protection, that God was going to give the city to them. They at least gave her that much information. And so she took them in and actually hid them on the roof. I suppose she risked her own life when she did that. But she asked for one favor from these men. She said, when you take this city, I want you to remember me and my family. I want you to save us. And they made that promise. And they said, you put out that scarlet thread. And when Joshua took the city, he was very careful that they save this woman and save the household. Now, her testimony went something like this. Back in the book of Joshua, in the second chapter, verse 9, I read, and she said unto the man, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when ye came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Now, that's a strange statement coming from this woman, but it is a tremendous revelation of the fact that God didn't arbitrarily destroy the city of Jericho. You see, for 40 years, word had been filtering into Jericho about a people who at that time crossed the Red Sea. Now, she said, we heard that. That was 40 years ago. We heard that. And I, for one, believed. And the others believed the facts. But they never believed in God. They never trusted the living God. And then later on, they heard how God was leading them and that he'd given them a victory on the other side, Jordan, against the Amorites. And this city should have profited by that. And now they've crossed miraculously the Jordan River. And here they are parked right outside the door, actually, of Jericho. And they are going to do a very unusual thing. What was God doing? He was giving this city an opportunity to believe him, to trust him, to turn to him. Now, I think it ought to be obvious to any person that if God saved this woman who believed him, then he would have saved the mayor of Jericho, and he would have saved anyone in the city of Jericho if they had trusted him as this woman trusted him. And therefore, God would have saved. You see, God saw them all on one basis in the city of Jericho. He saw them all as sinners. There all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. She just happened to be a more open sinner than probably the mayor was. I do not know about the mayor of the city, but I'm of the opinion that his private life would not stand inspection. And I'm sure that could be true of many others in that city. They were open sinners, but they had an opportunity to trust God. And had they believed God, and they had 40 years to decide whether they would believe God or not. Now, after 40 years, they didn't believe him. And I wish that that professor was still alive. I have a question I would love to have asked him. I didn't know it at the time, but I do now. And the question would be, God gave them 40 years to make up their mind whether they would trust him or not. Only one woman made up her mind to trust God, and God saved her. And it's quite obvious, since who she was, that anybody else would have been saved if they'd trusted God. Now, do you think 40 years is not quite long enough? Do you feel that probably God should have given them 41 years, 42 years? My friend, after 40 years, if they're not going to believe God, they're not going to believe God. God is long-suffering. This is obvious. He's patient. He's not willing that any should perish. Even a harlot that'll trust him, God'll save her. And so she could say, "We have heard." And it had an effect upon the people. The people believed the fact, but they didn't trust God. If they had, they would have been saved. Now, this woman, evidently, she believed God, because she said to the spies, "You're going to take the city, and when you do, I want you to save me." And she took a step of faith, and that step of faith, she risked her life. You see, faith began to move. Faith goes into action. Faith does not sit on the sidelines. And so this woman here, Rahab, she perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. You see, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. We have heard what God has done through you, and we believe it. That is, she said, "I trust him. And I trust him to the extent that I'm willing to risk my life." And she evidenced the faith that she had. And I tell you, friends, you see in Rahab, you see in this woman the wonder of faith. That today, in a lost world, God doesn't see this group of people so much better than another group of people. God sees them all as sinners, and when anyone will turn to God, God will save them. How wonderful this is, and what a marvelous picture of faith that we have.